All right, rock soldiers, listen up. This is J.W. Street of Hellraiser, and we're locked and loaded right here on DTM Wicked Radio. Crank it up!
This is the rocker, Keith Ramsey from Deep South Paranormal, and you're listening to Steve and Naomi on Into the Unknown Realm on DTM Wicked Radio.
Welcome into the unknown realm with your hosts, Steve and Naomi from Stirs Paranormal. Take a journey with us into a world that few understand and even fewer dare to go. On your home for everything wicked, DTMWickedRadio.com. Unknown realm. I am Naomi.
I am going crazy.
You're going crazy.
Yeah, my name's Steve, though. For people out there in Radio Land that don't know me,
we've had.
Wait a second. I'm not going crazy. I've already been there. It's been a day. It's just. I don't know what it is. Like I was. Like this weekend was like go.
Yeah.
And then baseball. Lost another one. Surprise, surprise. Anyways, I am like zapped of all my energy. But I'm still going.
Still going.
Yep.
Just call you the Energizer Bunny, huh?
It's not a good day to give up Mountain Dew.
Oh, my goodness. I know. I've been, like, going like crazy, you know, all day. You know, the whole going to work. You know, that's normal, right? And then, of course, as, you know, you all know that my uncle had passed away. And today was actually his services. But it's quite a ways from here. So to go there, and then, of course, you know, everybody telling you, oh, come to the after thing, and that, which was wonderful, absolutely wonderful, because we come from a large family. My grandparents had 13 kids, and, of course, that equals out to a lot of first, second, and third, and fourth cousins, and a lot of people there, and it was great to catch up. And I got to see my brother and my sister, too, of course, my mom. As well as with me, but
I'm sorry, but I was actually keeping a stopwatch on you, like, come on.
So rushing back here to make sure that we get on live, because tonight we have a fantastic guest.
Awesome.
I can't wait to get on, and which is awesome. But it's funny, we're having some issues with our system, because how ironic, my computer decided that it was going to update, which it has not done in a long time.
The conspiracy theory of the update.
Right.
You know, today at work, I actually had a guy that I work with, got a brand new computer. They put it in. They did all the modifications to it. The guy walks away, and the first thing it does, update. He's like, seriously?
He's probably all eager to work and stuff. But
yeah. Well.
But anyways, so we only have her for a certain amount of time,
yep.
So I definitely want to have our guest on ASAP. She was actually born with the name Brett Ashley Anderson, but we all know her as Brett Butler, or
Grace Under Fire.
Yeah. We'd like to welcome to the show Brett Butler. Welcome.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Thank you for having me. And I can hardly hear you. And can you hear me okay?
We can hear you pretty good.
Okay. So, I'm just, you know, maybe you guys don't get asked to raise your voice any more than I get asked to raise mine. But if you could speak up, I'd love it. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thank
All right,
you.
We'll move things around with our microphone. And then maybe we'll...
It's funny, because usually
I'm
people
jealous,
can't hear
I'm jealous,
me.
Naomi, that you got to see so much family.
You know, it's so rare, even though a lot of them, they're so close. It's funny. I mean, I even have a cousin that lives in the same town as myself, and she actually was there, and I never see her ever see her. But it's always so great to catch up with family, and but the circumstances.
I know.
So
I'm sorry, but I gotta say, 13 kids. I can't. How many cousins? I'm just curious. How many cousins you've got?
I can't even tell you. Like, I mean, I've been told, and it's just too many. I mean, there's cousins I've never heard of or seen, you know, and
then somebody's
just
always getting pregnant,
right?
But it's no kidding. Like, we'll be sitting here talking, and I mean, I've known Naomi for years, and all of a sudden she's like, "Well, you know this girl." No, that's the new one.
But yeah, it's always awesome to see, you know, your loved ones, your family, and hopefully next time we'll be under. Well, actually, it will be my nephew's actually getting married in a couple of weeks, so that'll be good. That'll definitely be good. But yeah, you know, so speaking of death, and I don't know how, you know, if you ever met or have any special place in your heart, but for Gary Marshall, I mean.
Actually a friend. Yeah.
That, like, when I saw that, I was just like, wow, I love Gary Marshall.
That tore through the acting community.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I know this is so name dropping, but one night I got to have dinner with him and Jack Klugman.
Uh-huh.
And I just felt like a spring chicken at the table with those two guys. It was over near where I had my horses in Burbank. Burbank is such a small place, you know, in a way. And he was just, nobody didn't love him. He was just so funny and so nice. And, you know, how many likable legends are leaving us? So,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
It seems like there are all the just, you know, people that touch our hearts and loved ones that, you know, just like, wow, just like Robin Williams. You know, my mom and I were just talking about, well, we were talking about Gary Marshall and then talking about Robin Williams, and just, wow, how someone who's just so talented, who's been in the industry for so long, able to do so many different types of roles. I mean, geez, you know, the Doubtfire alone, that just was an amazing movie.
But when he did Good Morning Vietnam, it blew us all out of the water. We were like, this guy is going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Good Morning Vietnam! Love that.
Crazy.
Sorry.
Totally crazy. But anyways, you, of course, well known for Grace Under Fire. I was wondering how that came about for you. What brought you to do that show?
I was minding my own business doing stand-up in New York. there was a pretty big political presidential election that year, and I was just going to do my set, and the club owner grabbed me and said, "Don't do anything political." And the election was, like, right around the corner, and I said, "What?" And he said, Carsey Werner is here. They're going to do a show about a single mom." And in the full crowd, I actually at that moment laid eyes on their guy, David Tochterman, who was there, and it just was a good show. And I had a good show, and they met with me the next day, and it was like the Beverly Hillbillies from then on out.
Wow. Now,
I want to say this about my old bosses. I mean, they'd already done Cosby's show. And by the way, my feelings are so hurt. I had dinner with Bill Cosby one night, and he was a perfect gentleman the whole night. So apparently I'm the only woman that can say that. But and they were doing Roseanne's show. And I remember I was one night when I lived in New York, I was brushing my teeth, and I heard this voice on the Tonight Show and came in and saw her, and I sat down on the sofa with my toothbrush just frozen in my mouth, and my husband was looking at me, and he said, what? And I just smiled and said, "She just kicked the door open for me."
It's the little things That makes sense.
I remember her first set. I mean, I love her. She's funny. But that very first set, and I saw those sparkling eyes and listened to that voice, and I just, you know, when you're in the business, I guess you don't. I love to laugh at other comics, but the longer you've been in it, the more rare it is to really see funny ones or fresh ones. So
yeah,
that was just exciting. So anyway, that's how I got my show, and it was, I love when people, they apologize for calling me Grace, and there's no need to. I understand why they do, and it's definitely a more intelligent name than Brett. So, but that was in another century, you know, like people's grandparents say, my grandmother loves you, and I go, that's fine.
You know, it's funny because, we posted several days ago that you were going to be on the show, and I've had so many people come up to me or message me, and everybody's like, oh, I love her.
My aunt actually said
yeah.
it today.
Yeah, they're yeah. just like, oh, she is so funny. She is so great. Oh, you're so lucky. That like, I mean, everybody
oh,
has
they're just crazy.
They're just crazy. Well, some of them are related to me.
Well, there you go. No.
As I die on soda.
You know, one of them. Are you okay, Steve?
No.
You gonna die on us?
No, I might.
Don't die. Kinda.
I need that cough
button. One of the people who actually came up to me and talked to me about you was you know, very impressed about the way you came out and sharing your experience when you went through your addiction and your story and how you basically are helping people, because I think the more you kind of like walk people through the process, I mean, they relate to things. They're like, that's me. Okay, if she can do it, I can do it, you know?
Same old, stronger.
Yeah, I mean, when you decided to come out and tell the world, because you're in the public eye, and to share the experience and everything that you went through to get where you are now, what made you decide that? What made you push forward?
No, nobody does that. Actually, it's sort of gross, really, the way people are. I have such a – I'm repelled sometimes when celebrities get on with their glistening eyes and share their stories or something, only because if it does help one person, that's great. You know, it was hardly a secret when I was in my cups or whatever, strung out. So – I never did. And by the way, I have never told the whole story just because it's actually, I don't like details, only because that person that's still out there will go, well, I never did that much. Or, you know, the things that make it exceptional are really not the point. But I just read recently, this just is amazing to me, 250,000 people died from 2000 to 2014 just from opiate addiction.
Wow.
That's like such, I had no idea about that statistic, and I saw it recently. So I'll tell you one thing, though. There's a bunch of things I didn't do that I'd probably be dead, like things like crack or needles or something, because I just know me. If it helps anybody, that's great. I don't have any special secret about it. There's nothing special. I just hang out with people that don't do it anymore. That's all. I really don't think I didn't do it by myself. I would be dead without a lot of help from my friends and my family.
You know, I think it takes a lot of inner strength to reach out when you're at rock bottom, you know, and when you need help. And to get to that point
there were some people there, if they hadn't been there when I came back, because I'd been sober before, you know, I had like over 7 years. And if they hadn't been there when I came back, then that would have, I don't know what I would have done. And I'm not talking about these, I'm sure there's some real wonderful expensive rehabs that help people, but I think it's one of the most jive things going on that, you know, people think that they have to spend a whole lot of money at a country club to, you know, to get sober when, frankly, there are some really powerful ways to do it that are absolutely free out there. and I won't be coy, you know, about, I have to be coy about it, kind of, but, you know, if you're out there and, you know, you think it's a problem, chances are it is, and I'll just remind you, there really are great free ways to get help, so.
That's awesome.
You don't have to do
yeah.
it by yourself.
Thank God.
Now, Brett, how, if you don't mind me asking, how long have you been clean and sober?
Friday was 18 years.
Wow.
Congratulations.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
yes,
I thought about partying really hard, but that would sort of defeat the purpose.
Hey, there's different ways to party. Doesn't always have to be.
Yeah, you know, I guess I could go and do that helium thing, suck the helium out of balloons at a kid's party or something, but that's a cheap trick.
I'll go do that with you. That sounds like an amazing time, actually.
it's just fun to watch their little faces when you steal the balloons. I mean, I guess.
You guess.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, I love you said a quote about a lady that you spoke to, the woman from Houston, about how she said drugs were created to help people to heal us. Drugs can be our friend, but they weren't ever supposed to be our only friend.
That was she was so fantastic. She said she was the one who had that great accent. She said, "Honey, I did it till the wheels came off."
That's awesome. You have a great accent too.
Well, it's so there are so many different kinds of. There was a guy, and I won't be boring and going, but there was a guy, an actor. Robert Easton, who used to do the 7 accents of Texas. And he used to actually be a guest on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show 1,000 years ago, but it was so funny to hear him do the 7 completely different accents just in the state of Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, where are you guys recording from, by the way? I don't even know where I'm calling. I know I called the Valley number.
New Hampshire.
Oh, my God, I love it up there. I'm serious.
Yeah, we like,
I know.
We like it when
I
it snows
so unlikely.
Way.
I'm one Yankee loving hoe. I mean it. That's the cradle of our country up there. It's gorgeous. I love it. Hello,
exactly.
New Hampshire.
New
Hello,
Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire. Naomi gives me a hard time about my accent all the time.
All the time.
Yep.
See, my dad was in the Air Force, so I was brought up like all over the United States. So I probably have some form of accent somehow.
Well, that means you were born to do radio.
Well, there you go.
I remember when I moved to New York City after never having left the South, and I mean, here I was. I'd been doing comedy for 2 years already, but I lived in this building where there was a Puerto Rican family, and I'll never forget that their oldest son goes, he was talking to me, and he said, "Joe, Mommy, I thought people from the South talk really slow. You talk just as fast as we do."
do you guys
remember the movie Working Girl?
Yes.
With the big hair and the big shoulder pads. This is
yeah.
like a true story. I'm working in Staten Island. It was my first time there. And I had like long brown hair and a flowered dress, and my hair was really straight. Anyway, I'm in the bathroom brushing my hair before a show, and these girls come in with these gigantic, you know, Melanie Griffith, Joan Cusack helmets of hair. And this girl's watching me, and she goes, "Is that your hair?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Can I touch it?" And so she's patting my hair like I'm a deer in a zoo, right? And she goes, "You don't put nothing in it?" And I go, "No." And later the club owner was dying laughing. He said, "I just looked through the door and saw these girls petting you, and your eyes were huge. Like, are they going to hurt me?" One of them asked why I didn't have shoulder pads on, and the other one goes, "Because her shoulders are big enough."
You definitely got the accents down pretty good.
Oh, I love living there. Well, I had to learn to talk that way to get into a taxi cab, because if you sound Southern and you get into a cab in New York, they took my mother over 3 bridges to get back to the airport.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, and when she got home, I said, Mom, you got taken. And she said, well, I was there to be took. And the driver is from Afghanistan to, you know, Bangladesh to Russia. They hear that accent and probably rightly spot you for kind of a schmuck, so.
I think, like, New York City is, like, you know, wherever you go, it's like a different country. You know, you just like you're in one country and then you go into a different part of New York and you're in another country and, you know, every place you go.
It is the greatest city I've ever been in. I mean, I do love London. I love Paris and San Francisco, but New York is astonishing. And there's a whole lot of places you can still go where it hasn't really changed for like 100 years. Well, if you don't read the billboards and stuff, you know, the bus pages. But when I moved there, what was astonishing to me is I would meet people who had never left their block almost.
Right.
I mean, people who had never been into Manhattan from another borough. And they would look at me because I drove a 69 Grand Prix there from Savannah, Georgia. Like, I was the crazy one. And they'd say, why'd you move here? And I'd say, to meet you.
That's awesome. You know, I went I was married to a Dominican man, and we were going to one of his brother's stores in, I think, the black part of Queens, or I don't know, I really don't know, I was just in the car. But when I got out, I like noticed, when I looked around, I'm like, I am like the whitest thing for miles, and everybody is staring at me. I'm like, wow, I've never really experienced
that. Was it a fun party?
Oh, no, it wasn't like a party. We were like going to a store.
Oh, I thought you said it was a wedding or something. Sorry. Okay, gotcha.
No. No, we were going to one of his brother's stores, but I was just like, I never really experienced that because, you know, I mostly, you know, grew up on Air Force bases, and then
right.
My dad, he retired. You know, we're in York, Maine. And, you know, it was just like, wow, this is
a culture shock.
It was a culture shock. But yeah, I guess I'm a little more partial to Boston. I think Boston's my
Boston is an awesome place. The last time I was there, I found Ben Franklin's parents' grave.
Really?
It has like 1600 at the beginning of, I mean, that's about as old as it gets here that's not indigenous Americans, you know.
Yeah. I live in this area. Now I got to go find that.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, I love that law in Boston that you cannot build over a grave. So you'll see like a skyscraper and then
right.
3 feet where there are two tombstones and then another skyscraper right next to it.
Yeah.
Right. We have in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, there's a Taco Bell, and right on the corner of the lot there is a grave site.
I think there's a grave site on every corner of Taco Bell, though.
I'm like, maybe
that sounds like the Alamo.
The Alamo.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
Have you guys been to the Alamo before?
I want to say I have, but...
I have not.
But I want to say I was really
young. You know what? When you get there, it's one of those things that you expect it to be so much. You know, you hear about it your whole life, and it's this cute little bullet-ridden building. It's just a tiny little place. You know, it's bigger in your mind's eye. I guess I'm telling you, you don't have to leave New Hampshire to go find it. I've been there.
Just look at it on the computer screen.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
That's why they say remember it, but you don't have to visit it.
Nice.
So I noticed, like, in your blogs that you are actually a great writer. I loved reading the blogs that I did read of yours. And then, of course,
thank
I know
you very much. I work. That's my real job, as I'm a lazy writer. Thank you so much.
No, they're awesome. But you also published your memoirs, Knee Deep in Paradise, in 1996. What made you want to write that? And have you thought of, like,
dollars?
Maybe writing another one? $1 million? Yeah, that would motivate
me. Anybody that has a sitcom, they will come to you and say, we'll give you a lot of money if you write your book. And they didn't know that I'd already written about 60 pages of it. that was actually the basis of a one-woman show I was doing in New York when Carsey Warner saw me. And it's taken way too long to write part two, but I'm actually doing that now.
What went wrong? See, I didn't get a sitcom, so I can't make my $1 million for my book.
You know, you don't want to write a book.
I do for $1 million.
No. Oh my. So, have you ever thought of writing, you know, maybe fictional books or anything? Or?
Yes. I'm really picky about fiction, and I have a weird collection of short stories that I'm working on. There's this little voice in my head telling me not to bother, that it will never be the kind of fiction that I really enjoy reading. I like very strange short fiction, and I just respect writing so much that it's the kind of thing I could work at another 20 years, and I just am not sure I'd be publishable, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I think even sometimes it's just the joy of doing it. You know what I mean?
No, it's too hard. It's not fun to write. I mean, I shouldn't. You're right. I wish I had your attitude about it, but it is so hard to do. It's when I'm doing my best writing, it's like I'm not even there. I think I get some help from anybody does when you're doing what you really love the most.
Mm.
I really believe, like Eckhart Tolle says, joy and work should be synonymous. I'm down with that. When I wrote Knee Deep in Paradise, I would remember, like in the morning, I would look at what I'd read, and I was sober writing it, so it's not like I was, you know, like checked out or anything. they're muses, and everybody has them. Baseball players have them. Everybody's got them. So
yeah.
I'm sending out engraved invitations for those.
There you go.
Well, I am writing, and this is so corny. Talk about not my forte. I'm writing an animated movie, and I can't believe it's so corny. It's about horses, and they all have, like, you know, sort of, I've anthropomorphized. They have people personalities. If I had to say what it's about class structure, except I'm using horses in a really rich barn and horses at a rental place to be these things. And you want to hear something corny?
Awesome.
When I'm even telling someone about the opening scene, I cry when I'm telling them. I get choked up at my own cartoon movie. That is so pathetic.
No, it's not. That's awesome. That makes you very passionate about it.
It makes me a sappy old lady.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, how was it to be in a soap opera? I mean, to go from, you know, being on, you know, Grace Under Fire, but then go into The Young and the Restless.
It
was
just as terrible as you'd think. Except there were some great people I worked with. I really thought my agent was kidding when he called and said, they want you to be on the show. And I hadn't seen a soap opera since I was a little girl. But I know people take them really seriously. And my favorite part was one day I showed up at work and the director on the floor goes, and who are you? And I started to go, you know what, ho? I will tell you who I am. How about I just twist you like a coat hanger and put you in the closet, you bony ass. Which is really weird for me because I don't walk around thinking, don't you know who I think I am? I'm largely over myself. But don't come up to me in a basement at CBS when you're the, you know, the millionth director this month and ask me who my ass is.
Yeah.
I'm one of these that when I see a woman director, I want to go, great, now I have to do everything 10 more times because they have to work so hard to prove themselves. And anytime I see a woman director in a movie, I'm like, oh, crap, I have to do so much extra work because they're, you know, trying to impress somebody, which is terrible in a way that happens. And I assume, since I blurted that out on radio, that any good women directors will high-five me and know exactly what I'm talking about. I always hate that when young women comedians come up and go, don't you think it was hard? And I go, you know what, here's my news for you. if you're funny standing up and you have fun on your back, I don't want to hear you complain about anything. I promise you're getting booked because you're a woman. And you better be as funny as a guy or I'll come find you.
Oh, wow.
I can't stand girl comedy, you know. It's and I'm not putting women down. I just mean, and I think women comics, by the way, not that you ask, but have a tendency to be more self-deprecating and profane than they need to be. And it actually took me 20 years to figure out that I think they're apologizing for the power, you know, for taking that stage. They don't even know they're doing it.
Wow, that's definitely an interesting way of looking at it, yeah. Now, is there somebody who inspires you that's maybe a woman that's been in this in comedy?
A woman that inspires me in comedy?
Or even a male, I guess.
Yeah, but not for stand-up. You know, my inspirations are Richard Pryor is the greatest ever.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Pryor, Bill Hicks, Lenny Bruce. I know I sound like all the other comics. Barry Crimmins right now. I can't hold a candle. The work Barry's doing is incredible. There's some comedians I admire a lot that I know this sounds funny. Men and women that I admire a lot, but I've never really laughed at. That may sound weird. It's just, put it this way, if you're good, if you can take a bag of toys out on stage and you make your audience laugh, I have no problem with what you do, you know? It may not be my cup of tea, but God bless you. Like I'll say, like Carrot Top is as good at what he does as anyone, right?
Amen.
Great. However, if your job involves puppets, there's a good chance you don't need to drink your coffee around me because I'll put something in it.
You know.
Yes, and Jeff Dunham, I'm talking about you, boy. I'm being controversial.
You know, I remember.
Let me just tell you this real quick. Sue Kalinski and I were working a show with Jeff Dunham up at for a bunch of insurance executives who happened to be female in Hartford, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And nobody knew who was headlining. So we got there and I said, well, who goes on first? And Jeff looked at us and goes, in this really condescending way, he goes, ladies first. And I will never forget Sue and I looking at each other. We just had this tacit agreement to make things as difficult as we could for a guy with puppets 1 hour later, just because he was trying to be a gentleman. So that shows you how ungrateful I am. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Naomi.
Oh, no. Not at all. Not a problem. I just remember when I was young. I can't even think. I was really young. Staying up and watching the Carol Burnett show. And
she's the greatest, and she's beyond.
Yeah.
She's in another realm. You know. And she's also proof you can be a wonderful human and like totally funny and gracious at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know. She's the first person I remember as being a comedian, being in that realm, and just out of the box. I just love
watching.
Well,
if I say I don't think of her as a comedian, I'm in no way taking anything away from her. She's, I guess, technically what you call a comedian. You know, they add gender to it. She doesn't stand up and tell jokes.
Oh, no. Very funny lady. Very, very funny lady.
So Brett, when you're up on stage doing stand-up, more of a structured thing that you go out and you deliver, or do you go off the cusp and just sort of like play off the crowd?
I have a combination. I think I've got structure, but when I get on stage, I end up writing as much while I'm on stage as I do, you know, beforehand. And actually, I have not been doing it for a really long time, and because there's nothing like not feeling like doing stand-up. It was the weirdest thing. It's like almost like a phantom limb. I was like, when am I going to want to do it again? But thankfully, the 2016 presidential campaign started, and I started to, like, the slumbering beast within started to awaken. I remember in other presidential elections, I would leave the stage and people would come up and say, I really enjoyed it. Who are you going to vote for? And that would make me feel so good that I apparently was fair enough in my comedy where they had no idea which candidate, if any, that I was going to vote for.
Wow.
I just, there's few things in life more obnoxious than a celebrity with a political agenda. I know they mean well. I know they do. It's just a real tough call. I just sort of want to go sit back down, you know.
You know, one thing like I never talk with my mom about is politics and religion, unless I want to sit there for, you know, quite a while. And yeah, and definitely, and don't get me wrong, my mom is very, very knowledgeable about both, but she's passionate just so much about both, and she just can just let it flow like crazy.
I'm the luckiest. First of all, I'm a huge mama's girl. I'm the oldest of five daughters, and if I live another 58 and a half years, I could not do justice to the woman that taught me about, well, what I think are the most important things in life, and some of that stuff is political. She is astonishingly progressive and inclusive, and I mean, I come from a Southern family where we did not hear racial epithets, and our mom was almost the only one on the street that did not burn Beatles albums when John Lennon said that thing, you know, and so I just, you know, she. When I was 8 years old and wanted to do George Carlin's act at my Christmas pageant in elementary school, my mother did not bat an eye and helped me remember his jokes and write the material. I owe her everything.
That's awesome. Very good,
yeah,
mom.
Which means
very
she's as crazy
mom.
As I am, you know.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
I want to know your take on what we need to do to fix America today and in the world in general with all the negativity going on and all the different, I guess, group bashing that's been happening. What do you think about those, and how do you think we can fix them?
Well, you heard what I just said. That I'm going to be the last person to do that. I just am going to do, and I do, I have some definite strong opinions about it that shock me, actually, that involve, I think it's almost funny that people think there's actually a two-party system in two different groups in America.
Right.
Without sounding like those crazy people on Alex Jones or something like that or whatever those shows are, I think there's five white guys that own everything that are laughing at all of it. I just want to be funny. I want to, if there's, you know, and I'm probably the most skeptical medium you've ever met. If I would rather have somebody talk to me who is skeptical but at least opens the door to the idea that the unseen, And that runs the gamut from things like extraterrestrials to after-death communication. You know, I think things like that are so interesting. And if you took off the table things like fear of death, it makes all the other stuff seem really small. You know.
Now you're speaking my language.
To answer your question, honestly, when Ann Coulter says liberals don't believe in God, I'd like to yank her head through her butt.
That is a bold statement that she made.
Heard it here.
Well,
first.
I think she'd look better.
Oh, my gosh. The visuals.
And you now, got the and you got the PG-rated one.
That's awesome.
No, you know what? A long time ago, a friend of our family's told me about court jesters. He said the jester was the person with the ear of the king. And that was an awfully lofty way of looking at stand-up in a way. But you know who I loved was Will Rogers. He laid everybody out and kind of just on a dissecting table like a frog in high school biology. And you know what? He did it in a way that didn't make people feel horrible about themselves. And maybe that's, you know, it seems kind of corny by today's standards. You know, he came on stage with a lariat and all that stuff. Whatever. you know, stuff like that. And I don't mean the kind of comedy clubs that all have deep fry vats that are recycling the same kinds of acts. You know, Lily Tomlin did a great show called Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe about 25 years ago, and I'd love to see more things like that. I'd love to see comedians just not feel like they have to get a laugh for the whole hour and really get up and talk about what means something to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm really dreaming, though, because, you know, you do have to sell drinks and appetizers to get in.
You know, you said to me that you... very interested in the notion that aliens and angels might be one and the same. I would love for you to elaborate on that.
Well, I don't look. Anybody that says that they know things like that for sure, my hat's off to them. It's just something. No, I think that just occurred to me once. I went, how would we know the difference? First of all,
I
still don't know. It was just something to think about. You know.
You know, I think Naomi told you too that that's my type of thinking. That, you know, how I sort of view things, and it's not like it's a definite, but I always, you know, it's one of those possibility of conspiracy theory, but you know, something that could happen. You know, I mean, if I put all my belief in this is just the way it is because this is what I was told, you know, then I don't know.
Right.
I don't like want to think that way.
Right.
You know, I actually seen a show, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called Childhood End. Can't even speak. Childhood End. I think I'm saying it right. But it's based off of that same premise. It's like a three-episode series, and at the end of it, it just blew me away. And I won't say anything more. But
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't get the name of it. You know what? I don't have television, but what you said made me want to get it.
It's called Childhood End.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I guess watch it and keep that open mind with the whole thing. It's got a strange twist to the end of it, and you know, I do believe that, like, when, you know, the Bible or whatever religious books people believe in, you know, they say that, you know, chariots of fire and things like that. I mean, back then in those days, anything that came from the sky would have been a chariot of fire. So,
exactly.
It's not far-fetched to think that aliens are those religious beings that they're talking about.
The chariots of fire?
Well, not well, but the creatures that, I say
they're
creatures, the aliens that had, you know, flown these ships and these crafts, those would have been gods because they would have come from the sky, and anything from the sky, from the heavens, would have been a god. So it's not far-fetched to think that way. And as time goes by, you would also think that, you know, you become now a religious figure instead of an alien being. So
right.
Totally.
My mom said the most interesting thing. One night we were watching some show about unidentified submerged objects. And one of the people in the show worked for the United States Navy and was concerned enough about his reputation where he had his face darkened and his voice disguised. But what he said was, and I'm sitting there with Mom, he goes, "I'm very worried that they're evading our radar." And my mother looked up from her newspaper, because she still takes one, and said, "Well, honey, they've been here. They could pinch our little heads off if they wanted to." And one of my sisters and I looked at her and I said, "Mom, is there something you need to tell us? I mean, are you like,
right?
Are you in league with these?" And I think I love how some people just don't bat an eye. And you know what? Robert Monroe, the guy who founded the Monroe Institute, the out-of-body experience researcher, if you go to their website, Monroe Institute, they have a free download page, and there are over 30 breakthrough sessions from the Monroe Institutes that are downloads from different people being interviewed as they were flying around in their astral bodies. And
wow.
Just listening to that is a game changer for me. All of these people, none of them had any particular psychic ability. Their occupations were all, you know, from physicists to PE teachers, and they were merely and phenomenally curious about expanded consciousness. And that is the last frontier, really, if you think about it. I mean, my gosh, the things medical science is learning to do and you know, in space, things like that. So I'm on board. I like that trolley. But unfortunately, it puts you on with some really nutty ideas. So, I don't know, like, I just want to say I'm half a nut. What am I, you know?
Brett,
curious.
Come join the dark side with me.
The nutty side.
The nutty side, yeah. Sometimes
well, you know, it's like somewhere in there with people that have unicorn bumper stickers and wear all the goddess dresses, I know that there are some closet smart people that just don't want to be thrown in with the people with aluminum foil hats.
Right.
Like, you know, Gilliland Ranch up in Washington State?
I don't know if I've
heard
that.
You know Gilliland Ranch where they have those UFO flybys?
Oh. I haven't heard about those.
No, I'm
going to
have
to
look.
I was born there.
If you look it up anywhere, there's a million videos of, you know, nightly occurrences at this wonderful ranch up near Trout Lake in Washington State. Now, but what's interesting is you can see them. Fox News went up there to kind of make fun of them, and they left saying, we have no idea what we just saw, okay? And what's weird is James Gilliland, the guy that owns the ranch, and we'll say while you're there, he'll point to the mountain and go, did you see that? And someone will go, no. He goes, that's one of their invisible plasma ships. And I want to say, James, there's real stuff flying around here that no one knows what it is at night and in the daytime. If you start telling people you're seeing invisible stuff, they will tote you down the hill in a cardboard box.
And that's the problem is if people can't see it, they don't believe it. You know?
Yeah.
They need
yeah.
to have it actually happen to them. And
well,
I mean,
but that
we do.
Also doesn't make sense because look at the chart of the elements. How did they come up with all that stuff? They can't see most of that stuff.
Right, yeah. That's good. Yeah, definitely good question.
But you didn't ask, but neon is my favorite.
Neon?
Absolutely.
Now, you know, speaking of psychic and psychic abilities, you yourself are gifted. Wanted to know, like, when did you learn that you
had the gift?
Yeah, had those gifts.
Okay, well, I want to say this about that. It didn't happen to me until I was almost 50 years old. I was not signed up for it. I was not studying it. It was disconcerting to me, but it happened in a – and I'm glad to say, as soon as it happened, if I wanted to think for a minute that I was special and that's why it happened, I would be dissuaded because of this. Everybody has some different measures of intuitive abilities.
Mm-hmm.
The one I have, and I can't do this all the time any more than, well, any psychic can, but my thing about getting messages from people who are crossed over, I'm not unusual, but here's why I decided to kind of out myself about it. There are people without any moral compass whatsoever who possess pretty profound, specific psychic gifts. So it's no respecter of persons. I'd love to think I got it because I've, you know, worked so hard at being a spiritual person, but the fact of the matter is that's just not so. So I kind of, I guess I would say, developed it a few years. A pretty
mm-hmm.
famous medium actually told me I could do this almost 30 years ago, and when I kind of ignored her because I was busy doing something else. And when I wrote her to give her a thanks for the heads up and told her that I was, you know, doing things in moderation, she wrote back something so interesting. She said, be careful, you don't know the rules. And I realized that she was being proprietary about it. Like, you know, she liked me as long as I was a comedian. But when I guess I sort of seemed to get on her turf. So I'm glad she did that because part of what I want to do with it is help demystify it, if that makes sense.
Wow.
I know when other people are psychic, and I don't tell it to everyone because there's plenty of people that you know and I know that there are people in padded rooms that just don't know where the voices are coming from. And I'm not making fun of insanity or mental illness at all. That's really the truth.
No, you know? I agree. I very much agree.
I was told when I was a kid, you know, growing up like a teenager. I think I went to some type of summer camp or something, and one of the counselors was actually talking about that on, you know, how do we know that the people that are in these insane asylums for hearing voices aren't really hearing the voices?
It's a gift that they have,
And, you know, and if we actually sat back and thought of it a different way, maybe these people aren't crazy. Maybe they're not insane. Maybe they're the sane ones that are actually knowing what's going on.
Yeah, just not realizing what where the voices are coming from. Yeah. As in, you know, messages from people beyond. Are you still there?
I think I was thinking 100 years ago that this subject was so much more respectable in, in the Western world anyway. Like, I'll just use Europe and America, for example. You could be an intelligent citizen about town and totally engage and not be ashamed of these discussions we're having, about the reality or not of after-death communication. But this was interesting. I had a client. And I said, his dad came through pretty quick, and I said, was your dad's name Mortimer? And they called him Mort. And the guy goes, you could just be reading my mind. And I laughed. I mean, not at him, but I laughed because I go, okay, he's down with telepathy, but not this after-death thing. So I said, well, you know what? Then we're at an impasse because there's nothing I can tell you that won't fit that bill. So if you want me to, you know, refund your money, I'm happy to do it. You have to tell me now. And he goes, no, I'm, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, whatever. So a couple of days later, he emailed me all excited because one thing I told him during the session was, quote, validated by his sister. And I wrote back, no, I think you could have known that subconsciously and you just didn't know it. And he gets all in a while. He goes, do you want me to believe in you or not? And I'm really happy to say that my answer was, it's immaterial to me. The thing that does bother me is when people think I'm like taking advantage of people or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is just too interesting and too much fun for me to BS about it. And hopefully who I am speaks more about that. But I thought that was so interesting that the thing that proves to him in his mind that I was indeed what I say I am, I was willing to shoot holes in.
Wow.
I don't know where this stuff comes. I do not know where it comes from. It is the weirdest thing. And to get, like, not just one name, but, like, sometimes I'll get, like, two names or some, you know, there's no way that I should be able to get some of the info that I get unless there is a collective unconscious and that different people, and I don't think I'm more skilled at tapping into it. You know those guys, those Tummo monks over in the Himalayas that can, like, you know, dry sheets and sub-zero temperature on their shoulders and stuff.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of interchange between the unseen and people walking around on Earth. I think the more people that respectfully engage in it, the greater chances we have of discovering new knowledge and stuff that helps the world as a whole. Am I saying that that's what I'm doing? No, but hopefully I tap enough people on the shoulder and at least get people thinking about stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if a message comes through for me, I'm just looking for one name, but that's it. Because
I want to say this. Sometimes when people ask, and I had a client tell me this yesterday, he asked for a particular signal from the other side that was so specific that can actually impede a person from getting other signals. If you're so dead set on one thing from one
problem person.
Huh?
That could be my problem because my loved one on the other side used to call me a certain name and as a nickname, and it's only two people know it. So, and we're both sitting right here. So I'm like, if anybody ever came across with that name, I would be blown away.
Well, that's what Harry Houdini's widow did for years. She waited on him. she, you know, he said, "Darling, if there's, you know, if there is another side, I'll bring you up."
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? There's so much. I got to tell you, there's so many. Thank God, too, because the burden's not on me. There are people with impeccable academic credentials that don't wear aluminum foil hats or aren't comedians who are famous in another century or, you know, washed up sitcom stars, that are doing profoundly simple experiments about after death communication. It's been going on for a really long time, and they don't really have agendas. I love that they're studying it. I hear sort of a door opening in the world about this stuff. And I know people that say it's like one of my relatives is convinced it's all demonic. And what's so interesting about this particular relative is she is probably 10 times more psychic than I'll ever be.
Wow.
You know, my mom, she very much is the same. Like, you don't...
Not messing the realm, we're messing it.
Yeah. Like, you know, we do paranormal investigating. And she just, you know, you don't do that. And, yeah, it's demonic. It's big no-no. And, you know, you just don't do it. You're speaking to the... You know, all these different things. And it's funny because she's the most curious out of all my family that has asked me...
I'm real curious, but I don't. I have a healthy respect, or call it fear, of some things. Like,
yeah.
If I worked on protection and discernment from here on out, that sounds paranoid. But if you work on protection and discernment, then that's insurance for yourself.
Yeah.
I talk to so many people that go like, "Oh, we're going ghost hunting." I go, "You have to be really careful about certain things." It's the grown up version of playing with the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you set certain things, you know, in place for yourself. And whenever I hear somebody go, "Oh, what you're talking about is such BS," I go, "Then do you want to walk through a cemetery with me at 4:00 in the morning?" And you'll be surprised who says no.
Right. It's amazing because we say the same thing. People will joke with us all the time at work, and you know, saying some people say that it's not real. Some people say it is real. And I'm always like, well, you know, if you don't believe, that's fine. Because I love the skeptics that come in. Because if I can bring you in to a paranormal investigation and show you what we actually do, and then something happens and you leave a believer, that just makes you open your eyes a little more.
Yeah, and usually they're like, "No, I don't want to go."
When you leave the building and your pants are wet. And I'm not even kidding. You know, I tell you, the funniest thing was this, a husband of a friend of mine he's an admitted snob and very academic and not a believer, a strict materialist. And long story short, we set something in. Anyway, one night he was left alone in a place that was allegedly haunted, and he got so scared that he yelled out, "I hear footprints."
Footprints.
I said, "You mean footsteps?" He's like running, going, "Whatever, there's something in there." And I didn't see it, but I heard it walking towards me.
Wow. Well, you're more than welcome to ever join us on a ghost investigation if you would like.
Oh, thank you. You know what? You guys live in the equivalent of, you know how they say England, Great Britain is more haunted per square inch, apparently, than any place on earth. I think whoever said that probably is ignoring, you know, the Far East and how old it is. But anyway, in America, we only have the Northeast Corridor as our western part. I have friends who have seen things around Four Corners, you know, where the Native American tribes were, that have seen completely different kinds of spiritual phenomena than happen in, you know, Boston and places like that.
Mm. Yeah, we definitely over here have, I think, the history, and just it's just filled with so much paranormal stuff going on, and we love it.
it's the oldest, basically it's the birthplace of America.
Yeah,
you know, you got the old buildings, the old history, the a lot of the wars and the sudden deaths of people, the energy that just got taken from somebody that quick. And then on top of that, especially like in New Hampshire, you have a lot of granite, and that granite holds in energy just like a capacitor.
You know what? I didn't know that, and I do believe, and that's maybe why they call us crystal gazers. I do believe it somehow, and you know that's why they put crystals in radios or something. That's something that they conduct, but I didn't know that about granite. So tell me about it. I'm interested in that.
Yeah, I don't know what the properties are for it, but I've always been told that granite, and that's actually why a lot of people think that a lot of people get cancer around here is because it holds that type of energy in. But, you know, I don't know. I haven't tested it out myself, but one of the theories is because of all the granite, it holds in the energy like a capacitor, and that, I mean, my belief that the paranormal world, everything's made of energy. So when your body, when you pass away, your soul leaves being that energy form and taps into whatever energy form is out there that we can't see. So it's just my belief.
Our teammate from Rise Up said that we should bring her to the Pain House.
Oh,
which is
great place.
Yeah, awesome place. We've investigated there a couple times.
You know what's weird? What's happened to me when I've been to places, if I walk in a, quote, haunted place, and by the way, I'm not saying I'm protected because I'm special. I think I'm protected because I work to claim what's there for everybody. But mm-hmm. I often won't see or experience what other people are, but I'll be able to tell you are. I'll say it's hard to describe. But the only time I've ever seen anything, I was going into about a 100-year-old building in downtown Rome, Georgia, and there were, you know, wing staircases, like ascending and ascending on either side. And on the other side, I thought, what a sweet old man. There was a guy in an old, bank teller's visor with suspenders, and you just never see that. He had specs on, little half specs. And I thought, what a cute old guy. And I looked over and realized he wasn't there from the waist down.
Oh, wow.
And
so when I got to the, I was taking my laptop in to be fixed. And as soon as I got in the guy's office, I was stammering. There's a guy. He goes, oh, you saw the old clerk. And I go, what do you mean? He said, oh, he goes, this building's haunted. I went, well, God. It has to be for me to see, because I have a friend who's a medium who sees, she sees dead people walking around. That's not, I'm so happy that's not how I roll. She sees them like partially formed and stuff like that. And by the way, she hated it so much. And I heard this from mutual friends. And I don't know how this works or why, but they told her if she didn't want to see any more spirits, to get a dark sapphire. And she lives in Colorado. Apparently she got one and it turned off like a faucet at the Wheatley.
Wow.
Everything, and she wanted it all gone too. She didn't want it anymore.
That's the power of stones. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about those rocks and minerals, like we were talking. There's something about them.
I know people are so knowledgeable in them. They're like, yeah, oh, you got this going on. You need one of these, and these.
I get drawn
to
some of them. I get drawn to some.
Yeah,
of them.
Yeah.
I think that's real. That is so interesting. That's why we have to get people, and, you know, I say we, but if there were people, if it's possible to be credentialed in this field, and like I'll give you guys know John Mack, the guy who studied all the people who were allegedly abducted by aliens, you know, the Harvard professor.
Yes. Yep.
Well, and you know what a hard time they gave him for that. But what he did was kick the door down for the ability of, at the very least, a massive psychological phenomenon. I happen to believe it's a little more than that, but the fact that, and I'm not saying only Harvard can do it, but just he was someone who paid attention to the persistent standards of the stories. He said there's too much. Even Bud Hopkins told him, John, you're going to regret this. You're going to be in a lot of trouble with your colleagues. You know, in academia, you're having a bad day if Alan Dershowitz has to defend you.
Wow.
And do you know, at the end of John Mack's life, he was studying after-death communication?
Was he?
Wow. You know, Eric says in the chat room, granite and there's the, all this other parts to it. But granite, like any other rock, can be contained naturally occurring radioactive.
Yeah, it basically holds in a radioactive charge.
You know, granite is a big, you know, like, you know.
That's people, why the whole cancer thing.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So,
and radioactive, you know, I can't even speak. Radioactive material is a form of energy.
Yeah.
It's the energy particles that are given off of something that's radioactive.
Definitely.
Well, now I'm all over this. I'm gonna go look it up after work tonight. And thanks for just broaching the topic. I'm not saying I know about things, but I had not heard about this, and I think I've been getting tapped on the shoulder for a long time to pay more attention to rocks and things. Or
mm-hmm.
a friend reminded me like of a. I think someone was irritated talking to Jesus in the Bible. They said, but if you just make your people be quiet, I can hardly hear anything. And Jesus said, but if you make me shut, if you make them shut up, the rocks will start to sing. And I go, okay, I'm taking that biblical reference with my crystal hunting.
There you go.
I mean, even taking it a bit further with Indian and Native Americans, I mean, they like lived off the land and everything was more of a land-based
Mother Earth, yeah.
You know, and you know, I don't want to speak that this is exactly what they thought, but I mean, it's almost like they thought the rocks and the land talked to them. So, you know, I mean, maybe it does, and we're just not listening yet.
You know, Brett, on our team, we have a fabulous psychic medium, and she is so knowledgeable about like ley lines and the earth and so in tuned with all that stuff, the rocks, the trees and
the water,
and how everything speaks and it's just like she always amazes us and
do feathers show up around her all the time?
Feathers.
I'll have to ask her.
Yeah,
I know she's got an American Native American type of tie every now and then.
When you started talking about her, and it's just real unusual for me, I just saw, like, raining feathers, just in a cool way.
Raining feathers. Interesting.
She's in the chat room, so
yeah,
I'm
like,
ask her.
Just, it was pretty cool. I just thank you guys for having me on, and thanks for being so patient about getting the time for me and waiting and everything.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
Right, it's been our pleasure. And I do want to say that if you are open to coming to the Pain House, on your schedule, let us know because we will. We have the invite, and we would love to bring you in with us.
Well, I don't know when I'm going to be back east. I could not be further away from you. I'm at the edge of
right?
Los Angeles County. I'm almost in the water here.
Well, if you're ever in town and you have a day that you just want to go see a pretty cool house,
I would love to, and I'd love to, and really, I'm not just saying this, I do radio shows. It was such a pleasure talking to both of you, and it was one of those really fun, well-rounded discussions. I am an old lady. I love that stuff. Thank you, and hugs to you both, and thank your listeners,
oh.
too, for me.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, thank you. This has been fun.
By the way, Paula said yes,
feathers show up around her.
Just to let you
pretty
know.
Cool.
But
I hope I meet her. I hope I meet her. I just that's terrific, and I'm glad you've got one going with you on those. And oh yeah, and go to realbrettbutler.com. That's where I am. And thank you.
Yep. We will definitely push that.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you
so
much, Brett.
I'm such a bad plugger. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. I know every once in a while I'll be like, oh, this is a great show. It seems like, oh. Yes, and if you want to, I'm like, oh, totally forgot.
Sometimes we just go with a conversation and it's really intriguing. And
do you want to mention your real quick your for people to look for you in that project that you just...
I'm going
to
be on the Leftovers. I did a couple of more episodes of HBO's The Leftovers. I don't know when it airs. That's no big help, is it? But I was so excited to get asked back. Playing a really crazy person. So it's on the third season, so it'll probably air this fall.
Awesome. So everybody look for Brett on The Leftovers.
Awesome.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and definitely appreciate it. And when you are going to be in
you.
New Hampshire.
Thank you. Happy trails, y'all. God bless.
God bless you, too. Bye, Brett.
Bye. That was awesome.
It's like cracking my...
I mean, right here, even Dave Grady's still saying, yes, I can. It's a go, you know?
He's like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I really hope she takes us up on that offer. Even if it's just
awesome.
To go for a day walk.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
It sounds like her gifts are something that she's in development, you know, and learning lots about.
I think she's learning, but I think she's been doing it for a little bit. I want to say 10 years.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
But it sounds like she's being pulled in different ways with the rocks and stuff. And
yeah. Oh, she seems like she wants to keep on learning.
Yeah, definitely.
And, if she's still listening, I don't know if she is, but I am going to try to, and I know Eric's already probably working on it right now, but I'm going to start looking up the granite and, you know, how it holds energy and stuff, because I know I've heard it. I've probably seen it online. I'm going to try to get that information to her.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, Eric, if you listen and try to get that info, I'm going to try to pull up her site, because I think it said on there.
Yeah.
And it's called the realbrettbutler.com.
Yeah.
She does readings on there. I want to say a half hour to an hour. Her prices are on there and a good little write up on her.
Eric said he's so on it. All she has to do is call us and she has an in. That's crazy. We love Dave.
I'm all over that, Dave. I want in.
You know, she was on a lot of different shows. Some on several episodes. Of course, we know her as Grace Under Fire, Grace Kelly. She was actually People's Choice Award for Favorite Female Performer in a new TV series, Viewers for Quality Television Award for Best Actress in Quality Comedy Series, nominated for a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress, TV series, musical, or comedy. Nominated Viewers for Quality Television Award for Best Actress in a Quality Comedy Series. These were different years that they were on. She was in the Dolly Show. Remember Dolly Show? Long time ago, 1980.
She's also in Anger Management.
Yep, she was most recently, actually, from 2012 to 2014 in Anger Management. 38 episodes. Oh my goodness. Women of the House, The Larry Sanders Show, The Drew Carey Show, Ellen Show, Coach, My Name is Earl, Archer, The Young and Restless, and as we said, Anger Management. And of course, the new one, she'll be in season 3 for The Leftovers. I think she said it's on HBO, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Do you have HBO?
I do not.
Gotta
get
HBO.
$10 a month. And I guess that's a plug for Dish.
I want to say that I read that The Leftovers season 3 is coming in 2017. So they'll probably be finalizing everything up. And if you want to read her book that she published, her memoirs, it's called Knee Deep in Paradise. So that's definitely something to pick up. And she also was in the films Child Ain't Right, Bruno. I can't even say that. Melitia. It's Melitia. TIA. Mrs. Harris, Vampire Bats, Moochers, Beach Cougar Gigolo, and Anchor Baby. Wow.
So I don't know how many years she's been into this, the psychic world. The information I got on here wasn't that. I was something different, 30 years in business. But I want to say that's comedy and acting and all that.
She said it came on when she was around 50. So she was born in 1958. Okay, one of you wonderful people in the chat room, do the math.
Really?
Too tired.
I'm
too tired.
I'm not going to give people's age.
Well, no. It's okay.
So if you go to realbrettbutler.com, you can also read her blogs that we were talking about earlier. There's also psychic readings. There's a section about Brett, a bunch of links and contacts. On there, you can get a 30-minute reading for $85, and that's a one-on-one phone consultation. How do you say that? A consult.
Consult.
And then a 60-minute, 1 hour, will run about a 140. You just leave your name, your number, and the best time to reach you when a group tries to call you back.
How many people can say, I got a reading from Brett Butler?
I tried.
Oh, is that what you're trying
to
do?
No, I wasn't. I was actually
give me a name.
I mean, the whole time we were talking to her, and I'm thinking to myself, that one person that I'm thinking of is going to just tell her that name right now.
You were hoping.
How blown away would you have been if she had said it?
I'm pretty blown away.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, you know what, I gotta at least ask. So
you all remember back when we had Bob Christopher from the Ghost Detectives on, and how we were stood up by Dave Giuliano. We all remember that, right? Yeah, we gave him a hard time. A hard, hard time. So Eric did the math. I'm not sure how reliable it is. He went to trade, but he's saying she's 58, so it would be about 8 years that she's been doing it.
So that's close, 10 years.
Yeah. Very, very close. Anyway, so Dave Giuliano, he'd laugh right now. When we went to Ocean State, he was very, very gracious and kind, and actually said many times that he was very sorry and that he would be coming on our show. So August 1st, we have Dave Giuliano joining us finally. That man is actually excellent speaker, and I'm actually pretty excited to have him on. He's got great information regarding equipment and stuff, and he was the original person that, what is that website? I'm spacing it. It was the first original website where people could discuss. I'm totally blanking it.
When I'm not prepared, I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. and Quiet Steve's not reading my mind, so he's so good at
it. All good.
Yeah, he's so good at
that. I mean,
anyways, we can talk about it.
Should we stand him up?
Oh, no. We don't do that. No.
I'm just kidding.
But anyways, so he is going to be joining us on August 1st. And then I got to look at the date, actually. Oh, he is the founder of the Shadowlands website. That is what it is.
I knew that.
He is a negative haunting investigator and author. Director of South Jersey Ghost Research and Sanctuary Paranormal. Like I said, the founder of Shadowlands website and the owner of the Ghost Hunter store. He's been seen on Paranormal TV, the History Channel, MSNBC, the Travel Channel, Sky Living, BBC One, and National Geographic, and actually now part of the Ghost Detectives. So very nice guy. Love talking. Great speaker. Definitely looking forward to actually having him on the show.
We're giving him a hard time.
Yeah, we are.
We do have a lot of respect.
Yeah, we like him a lot. And then it's 2 weeks later, which the date is the 15th, I believe. Yep, 15th. We are going to be having on the show, and she's pretty local to here, and she's a psychic medium. Amy Major is joining us, so that should be pretty cool as well. She does rescue mediumship, and we actually, she said she could do some psychic readings online.
Great.
Sorry, over the show. So keep that in mind.
So people that are listening, August 15th, call in for your free reading.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. We definitely want to thank Brett Butler for joining us tonight.
I feel really bad for the information she gave us a little bit earlier. She never released it over the air, so
no.
I don't want to say anything. But
yeah, that's her info.
Yeah. But our hearts go out to her. So.
Yeah, definitely. And And everybody say a few prayers for my aunt. Today was the funeral of my uncle. And
very sorry for your loss.
Yeah, it was an interesting day, but a good day. Wonderful thing, you know, family.
And I'm glad you made it back in time.
Yeah, I know. You were stressing it, weren't you? Yeah.
Very stressing.
You were like thinking back May when, you know, you was going to be.
That whole conversation would have started paranormal, I'm telling you.
Did you have everybody else on speed dial to
co-host? I wasn't to that point yet.
Were you watching the traffic reports?
Yes. I had the I-9 chopper was released.
I made it. I think it was not much time, but can attest, like, I got here, I opened up my computer, and it's like, oh, we want to update.
You know what, though?
What?
I'm to the point now where I don't even care if things don't go right because we're used to it. So whoever's messing with our equipment, we got it. We know how to get around you.
You know what's funny is the studio stuck in 2 minutes and 19 seconds until the last episode. So I don't even know how. I don't know.
Right now?
Yeah, see?
Wow.
Oh, no, everybody cares.
Oh, yeah, we're on.
But anyways.
It's been a good show.
Yeah, it's been a great show. Definitely a great show.
Thanks for listening to all our guests in the chat room.
Definitely.
We love y'all.
Yeah, definitely love you all. Thank you, everyone listening. And a huge thank you for Brett Butler. We actually have had Brett Butler on pause hold for a few months. As she worked hard at doing her filming for The Leftovers. And so we've been patiently waiting for her to be on.
I can't believe we just talked to a TV staff.
It's so funny. My friend Dawn, I don't know if you saw it, she put on one of my posts. She's like, you're so lucky.
Well, yeah, my aunt, like I said, she said, cool. They're so cool.
My friend Sherry, she messages me, my best friend, she's down in Florida. She's like, okay, how in the world did you get her? Just ask, you know.
It's an honor for us.
Yeah. We're very blessed to have people around us.
Right here. Dawn says, Naomi, you are so lucky. My aunt, cool. Just little drops like that all week.
Definitely. We definitely are blessed to the people that we, you know, have on our show, from local folks to, you know, people such as, you know, Brett herself.
Give us their time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it. That's the one thing I love so much about what we do, is that we are able to talk to so many different people, different avenues. And interests, and, you know, especially even if they don't have the same view as us, or we don't have the same view as them, or we have the exact same view. Love talking to them. Definitely talking to them. You know, you guys have to do another conspiracy theory show.
We do. And actually, Boats is on there telling me he's a TV star right now. I think that's a conspiracy theory.
He must have thought you were that he was with you on my ghost stories.
My ghost stories, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I am one and the same with Brett Butler.
You are not.
He's got some humor. I was like, whoa. I'm sorry, Jeff Papa.
Jeff Papa. I'm actually a big fan, big fan of Jeff Dunham.
But
I think it's funny. I liked her story, and I could totally understand that, because
I
probably
see that all backstage happening too.
Yeah. Too funny. Too funny. Anyways, so we should probably end the show.
Sure.
You just want to keep talking?
I need another drink.
Like we said, thank you everybody for listening in. And a huge thank you to Brett for joining us. We had a fantastic time. Laughed a lot. What a great way to end a Monday, huh?
Yeah, and if we get into the pain house, by all means, we will let you guys know that.
Oh, definitely.
Or the outcome of that.
Yeah, probably the outcome would be good. So let's hope our studio works as we close out the show. Anyways.
I love it. It's like problems with the studio, and I'm laughing.
Great weather. Everybody have a good week, and we will talk to you next time.
See ya!
Rolling Hills Asylum. Located in East Bethany, New York, just minutes between two major airports, Rolling Hills Asylum is a hotbed of paranormal activity. They have been featured on Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, Paranormal Challenge, as well as Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters. Rolling Hills Asylum has been named the number two most haunted location in the United States by HauntedNorthAmerica.com. The property was established on January 1st, 1827, as the county poor farm. Throughout the years, it has operated as a poor farm, infirmary, orphanage, tuberculosis hospital, nursing home, and more. Past residents and inmates consist of widows, orphans, physically disabled, mentally unstable, murderers, and more. Over 1,700 bodies are buried in unmarked graves, and hundreds more deaths went undocumented. Rolling Hills Asylum is known for a plethora of phenomena, including disembodied voices, doors slamming, footsteps, sounds of furniture moving, full-body apparitions, shadow people, ghostly touches, and numerous Class A EVP. Rolling Hills Asylum proudly offers historical and flashlight tours, 4 and 8 hour public ghost hunts, 8 and 9 hour private ghost hunts, and more, by appointment or pre-booking only. For more information, please visit www.rollinghillsasylum.com. That's www.rollinghillsasylum.com. Or give them a call, 585-502-4066. That's 585-502-4066. Rolling Hills Asylum. What are you doing this weekend?
You are listening to Steve and Naomi on Into the Unknown Realm on DTM Wicked Radio.
Now that's hot.
I know, right?
All right, rock soldiers, listen up. This is J.W. Street of Hellraiser, and we're locked and loaded right here on DTM Wicked Radio. Crank it up!